Now, if you want to really understand these texts that we just read about Jesus healing all these people and then feeding them, and enter into that reality and have it really touch your spirit, how would you go about it? What would you do? Well, you'd read it over again, for one thing, and go very slowly and think about it. One good way is to get your pen and paper and write it out. Because when you write the whole text out, you pay attention to every word. And then you say to the Lord, I don't understand this. Which is fine. It's true. And that helps us, you see. And then we have this story. This is the story of the second multiplication of loaves. In Matthew and Mark, there's two multiplications of the 5,000. And here, of this other group, they had 12 baskets left over. They have 7 baskets left over. There are all sorts of tiny little hints, some of whom you probably wouldn't pick up unless you were reading them in Greek. But the word for baskets in the first story is the typical Jewish word for basket. Whereas in the second, it's more ordinary, or even a Greek word. Is this because Matthew is saying there was the feeding of the Gentiles and then the feeding of the Jews? Hard to know. But one way you could look to understand this, you see, is to read the Old Testament. Now, that's been done for us, hasn't it? We have today this prophecy from Isaiah 25. You see, on this mountain, what mountain? Well, Mount Sinai, Mount Zion. It's the church now. The Lord of hosts will provide for all peoples. For all peoples. This is an Old Testament prophecy, looking forward to God taking care of the whole world. God taught them that. A feast, rich food, choice wines, juicy, rich food, pure, choice wines. God will take care of his people. And it will be with abundance and delight and with, you know, he didn't just go to McDonald's and get a hamburger. I mean, this is a banquet on a mountain for everybody. Maybe if you wrote this one out, you see, you'd start to go, oh, look at that. It's for all peoples looking forward, you see. And then what else is going to happen on this mountain? Remember how Matthew is very careful to tell us, huh? Jesus went up on the mountain. Okay. A feast. On this mountain, he will destroy the veil that veils all peoples. Nobody gets it. Everybody's running around trying to make money, trying to beat up each other. I mean, that's a veil. The web that is woven over all nations. And now listen to these promises. This is the word of God. He will destroy death forever. That's a solemn promise. When Paul preached that at Athens, they all burst out laughing. Well, at least the Epicureans did. There were Stoics and Epicureans there, according to Luke. The Epicureans, I mean, this is it. You talk about resurrection, you destroy the whole fabric of the cosmos. Don't you understand? Death is built into the law of existence in this world. And there's nothing you can do about How would you like to live like that? Instead of with hope, our Lord, risen from the dead, right here with us in this Eucharist. He's going to wipe away the tears from all faces. Isn't that beautiful? He notices everybody's tears. It says in one of the Psalms, he keeps them all in a little flask. The reproach of his people he will remove from the whole earth. On that day it will be said, "Behold our God to whom we looked to save us. This is the Lord for whom we looked. Let us rejoice and be glad that he has saved us. For the hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain." That text is meant to help us understand what Jesus is doing. Even there, as it says, right? They brought him the lame, the blind, the deformed, the mute, and he healed them all. That's the promise. That is the foretelling, the foreshadowing of the promise. And we did that yesterday. You know, we live in the icon of the fulfillment. It's here. But it's not fully worked out yet. When there's no more suffering, no more death. But you see, it can happen now wherever the church is really church. Lourdes is a symbol of the church. The old fathers of the church called the church a big hospital. You're addicted to this or that or the other thing, or you got this sin or you got that sin, or you got this problem with your body or your mind, come. Come. Let the Lord heal you. You see? They were amazed. And so we have here the inversion of that, right? The promise comes, the healing comes first, and then the feeding. He feeds these people. He takes care of our needs. Miraculously, but also through those marvelous orders of religious women who went out through the whole world to heal people, to make hospitals, to preach, to show the kindness and mercy of God to the world. So this is only the Wednesday of the first week, but you see the promises given to us? The Lord is not playing games. This isn't sort of some pious thought to keep you going through the day. This is a divine promise for all the peoples. That's what we yearn for, pray for, work for, preach for.